Hello, everyone, and welcome to a revolution of truth. Welcome to the land of understanding what God is doing. Isn't that a wonderful thing? But Martin, we can't understand what God is doing. Oh, yes, we can. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, speaking of the riches of his grace, which he lavishes on us in all wisdom and prudence, making known to us the secret of his will. He is making known to us the secret of his will. And that's actually a prudent course. Isn't that amazing? All wisdom and prudence. It's prudent. God's thinking to himself, what's the prudent thing to do here? I'll make known the secret of my will to these people who have no reputation in the world. Oh, boy. No reputation in the normal world. No reputation in the religious world, which is the abnormal world. And yet God is making known to us the riches of his grace and the secret of his will in accord with his delight, which he purposed in him. I'm Martin Zender. I'll be your guide today. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. We're going to get into the nuts and bolts of how God makes this will of his known. Romans 10, and let me start here with verse 11. Everyone who is believing on him shall not be disgraced, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same one is Lord of all, being rich for all who are invoking him. But Martin, you told us that there's a big difference between Jew and Greek, that there's two different gospels in the New Testament. Well, in the body of Christ, there's no difference between Jew and Greek, and that's what Paul is talking about here. This is in the body of Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, and I think what he's saying here is that it's not that the Jew has an inside track and doesn't need to believe, whereas the Greek does. No, Jew and Greek both are invoking the name of the Lord. And whoever should be invoking the name of the Lord, verse 13, shall be saved. The word saved there is in the incomplete verb form, shall be being saved. I think you understand that, don't you? If you read my book, The Really Bad Thing About Free Will, you understand that. Invoking and acknowledging God is what brings us to a realization of what he already did. It's the incomplete verb form. It's an ongoing thing, a current ongoing action of being saved, of coming to a realization of truth. If you want the complete verb form, you find that in Ephesians 2, 7, and 8. For in grace, through faith, are you saved, and this is not out of you. In grace through faith are you saved. The saved here is in the complete verb form. These forms are evident in the Greek. You are the ones having been saved is the way this reads. You have been saved. That's the absolute truth. That's the complete verb form. Here in Romans 10, the invoking of his name causes you to be being saved. It brings you to a realization that you were saved. Relative truth versus absolute truth. But in Romans 10 here, we're going relative, and I'm going to go relative with you the rest of the week. All right, we want people to invoke the name of the Lord, that they should be being saved, coming into a realization of the salvation that is already theirs, that they were saved 2,000 years ago by Christ. How did they do that? How should they be invoking one in whom they did not believe? Well, that's not me asking the question. That's Paul in verse 14 of Romans 10. Now, what follows here is a Rube Goldberg-esque type of progression. Rube Goldberg, you remember him, the cartoonist who drew these cartoons of inventions. You push the switch, which lifts the lever, which pulls the string, which turns on the fan, which blows out the candle, and one thing follows another. Don't think that God is not cause and effect. He is. He's just the cause. Not just the cause. He's the cause, and we are the effect. We see the effects on earth of what God causes. The big mistake is to assume that these effects have no cause. That's pure stupidity. All right, it's not wrong to describe the effects. Hey, that guy's believing. Oh, she's not believing. Hey, that guy is invoking the name of the Lord. Oh, but look over there. That person's not invoking the name of the Lord. Well, the reason some are and some aren't is because God is directing it. Don't think that effects don't have a cause. Nevertheless, we are permitted and encouraged to discuss these effects. And here they are in verse 14. of Romans 10. How should they be invoking one in whom they do not believe? You got to believe in order to invoke, yet how should they be believing one of whom they do not hear? That's getting pretty practical now, isn't it? You can't believe unless you hear. That involves the ear. Yet how should they be hearing apart from one heralding? Very practical. In order to get the message, you have to have people giving the message. Well, you don't have to, but it pleases God to do it this way. God could plant the truth supernaturally into your skull while you sleep. He chose not to do that. He chose to use human beings as his agents in getting the truth across. That's just the way he did it. How should they be hearing apart from one heralding? Yet how should they be heralding if ever they should not be commissioned? Commissioned, it means to be sent officially and with authority. One of the first things, one of the first qualifications you would think to being an evangelist is knowing what the evangel is. Now, that qualification is not met by hardly anyone on this planet, to know what the actual evangel is. God has to commission people. That's why I say that just because you have a diploma on your wall that says you're accredited by a theological institution, that means nothing at all. It just means that a man has approved of you, and if you've come through that channel, you're coming through the paradigm of the particular institution that educated you. God sends true evangelists, just like Peter, James, and John. Remember how they startled the Sanhedrin? They said, who are these men? We don't recognize them. They didn't come through our institution, yet they walked with the Lord. So God commissions teachers, and they herald. And without the heralding, no one can hear. Without the hearing, no one can be believing. Without the believing, no one can be invoking. This is all relative truth, but this is the channel. That's why I teach the gospel of grace, because it's necessary. God made it necessary. Again, he didn't have to, but he made it a necessary part. Hearing is a necessary part of invoking God, which is all a necessary part of salvation, which is not to say that salvation is not of God. It's just that whom he chooses beforehand, designates beforehand, these he calls also. And now we're seeing in Romans 10 the manner in which he calls. He uses people who are commissioned. And now I love this verse in verse 15. How beautiful are the feet of those bringing an evangel of good. An evangel of good. Would this be eternal torment? Believe or die! That's not an evangel of good, and a true evangelist will not challenge you to believe in order to get the good things of God. And interesting, evangel of good here is a redundancy, because the word evangel in the Greek, the elements are well message. Evangel itself is a well message, so this is a well message of well. It is a good message of good. It is loaded with good things, and if anyone comes saying otherwise, if anyone comes with threatenings of eternal torment, they are not sent by God, relatively speaking. Absolutely, yes, 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 absolutely. Relatively, it's a message of Satan. A lot of evangelists today are satanic messengers. Most of them are. They don't look like it, but they are. Well, I got a lot more to say on this verse, but my time's up. We're going to talk about how not all obey the evangel. What does that mean to obey the evangel? And look at the frustration in verse 16. Lord, who believes our tidings? Not many people, but we teach it anyway, and Paul did anyway, because here's the trick here. We don't know who God has chosen. That's right. God keeps us evangelists and teachers ignorant of who he's chosen. And we're going to see a practical example of that in the life of Paul tomorrow. God be with you. And I hope you're with me tomorrow. Believe in God no matter what the clergy tell you.